Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. Father, I pray that each one of us would be so focused on hearing from you this morning, Lord. We wouldn't let anything distract, that our minds would not wander, but we would listen intently for your Holy Spirit to speak, for your Holy Spirit to change, to transform lives this morning. Have your way now. May thy will be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So today's message, I'm trying to be obedient here. The title of the message is for living for today. I just pray I heard the Lord correctly in all this. I guess the best way is we're just going to jump right in and see where it goes, okay? Psalms 118:24 says, This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I've preached on this verse before. We sing songs about this verse. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And how many of us wake up each day rejoicing? How many of us wake up each day excited? God, what do you have for me today? You know, we're so full of joy. We're so full of excitement. We're just ready for the day. Or how many of us is, snooze. You know, you're not ready to get up. You don't want to get up and face the day. Especially if it's raining and storming. What do you want to do? You want to stay in bed, right? Well, for many of us, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I've really been wanting to practice living that in the moment of today. Okay, we're not promised tomorrow, and so this week we'll get into a little more. But I've really had this on my mind that today is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. That I need to be living for today and not worried about tomorrow, not worried about what's to come. But I'm just a worrier. I am. I worry. I come from a long line of worriers. I've got an aunt in Michigan and she invents things to worry about. It's just, and I worry. Matthew 6, if you want to open up your Bibles to there, verse 25 is where we're going to go. And it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Here it's telling us things not to worry about, but what, you know, the older I get, the easier that's becoming on what to wear, but the more I worry about what I'm going to eat, you know? And with my eating regimen that I'm doing now, it's like I'm calling Crystal as soon as I'm off work and I'm saying, what's for dinner? And when I walk in the door, I'm ready to eat because I'm starving. And I worry. What are you cooking? What do we got? Because if dinner's not ready, I'm grouchy. And I've been trying to be good, and I'll eat a banana and oranges and that stuff to tide me over. But I'm ready for food. I worry about what I'm gonna eat. Not that I'll have food, but that it'll be ready when I'm ready. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? I talked about worrying here a while back, but really when you think about the worrying steals your moments from today. Because if you're worried about things, you're not living in the moment. You're not rejoicing and being glad if you're worrying. They go against each other. Would you guys agree with that? If you're worrying, you're not rejoicing. If you're worrying about things to come next week or preparations for something, then they steal from what the Lord has for you today. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. How many of y'all remember last week's sermon? Anybody? I'm not going to ask you, I'm just wondering, do you remember? Praying specifically. Does that spark anything? About praying specifically, intently? Well, I got to put it into practice this week several times, okay? Hayden had a final and a test Wednesday. Did anybody's phone go off Tuesday night about midnight with a tornado warning besides mine? Okay. I'd fallen asleep. I could not sleep. It's like 11:50. I finally fall asleep. Midnight. Crystal's phone. Bah, 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 tornado warning. I'm like, oh my gosh. So then we turn on the thing. Well, then Hayden's gone and he starts texting. I'm so sick. He was sick as a dog. He's got two tests the next day that he can't miss and he's so sick. And it's like, so then I'm worried about Hayden. He's not home. He's sick. And tornadoes coming and all this. And I just started praying. And I said, Lord, you know what Hayden needs. You know that he needs to be at school tomorrow to take those tests. Now, God, if it's your will for him to truly go on and maybe go to medical school and do all these things, God, you know that he needs to be there tomorrow to take these tests and make these good grades. So, Father, I'm trusting you. Hayden woke up the next morning, felt fine, went to school, took his test. Praying specifically. Me and Madeline left yesterday morning to go to Texas to buy our car. And we both prayed, God, if this isn't your will, then tell us. We was not quite to Poto at 8:45, and the salesman called and said, I'm sorry, I just sold the car. Who buys a car at 8:45 in the morning? And me and Madeline looked at each other, and we both smiled, and I said, well, I prayed. Madeline said, I prayed. I don't guess you get any more specific than that, huh? The car sold. We turn around. That wasn't the car that God had planned for. You guys might think that's crazy. No, that's praying specifically. Okay, so how am I tying all this in, okay, with all this, okay? So Wednesday, I'm at work, and there was a big steel catwalk. It was put up to the ceiling of a trailer, and we couldn't get it down. And so my buddy got into it and lifted it up with his forklift that took the pressure off of the beams. I had to get under it to take out the beams. I took out the first one, it was fine. I took out the second one, and the pallet broke, and all that steel come right at me. And I grabbed as much strength as I could, and I was holding up that beam, and my buddy's hollering, get out of there, get out of there, because it's about to all come on me and crush me. I couldn't. I was tangled up, and I couldn't move, and I'm holding up all this weight, and he couldn't help me. And finally, I had to let go and just jump, and it all come crashing down. It scared me. I'm not going to lie. It scared me bad. And my buddy, who's one of my best friends at work, he tears up stuff and he messes up stuff all the time. It scared him even, because it was that close. And that day I just kept thinking, God, how different my day almost went. How different this afternoon could have turned out. I could be in the hospital right now, you know. I could be on disability, you know. I don't think it would have killed me. It could have, but it would have hurt me real bad. And I just thought, God, thank you. Thank you. But how many of us just get going in our life and we don't really appreciate today? We don't really appreciate that we're able to get out of bed, that we're able to open our eyes, that we're able to go to work, that we're able to see our family, that we're able to see our kids, that we're able to do these. God, thank you for today, because how quickly life can change. It was a normal morning for me, and my life could have totally been changed that day. Some of you may have experienced it in your life. You may have got a phone call. You may have lost a loved one, someone sick, someone battling cancer. How quickly our life can change in just a moment. And so all week I've just been praising God. And I was thinking about this, and I thought of Casey when his porch collapsed. How quickly his life could have changed. He could have been hurt really bad. I thought of Lincoln in the gas accident that happened a week ago. And I thought how quickly Adam and Brooke's life could have changed at that moment. How quickly our lives could change. And I thought of that young man that tackled the shooter this week at North Carolina. Did y'all see that? Everybody's ducking, everybody's hiding, and one guy goes at him and saved many lives, but it cost him his life. Y'all, we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen here in a few minutes. So should we not be living each day for today and quit worrying about tomorrow? Quit worrying about what might happen? This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I've remembered this devotional, and it's probably been 3 or 4 years ago, and I tried to find it and I couldn't find it, but I read it on a Sunday night, and I'm trying to remember it the best I can, but there was a man on a bus and he sees a man driving a car. And he says, I wish I had a car. There was a guy riding a bike, sees the man on the bus. And he says, I wish I had the money for a bus ticket. There was a man walking, sees the man riding the bike and says, I wish I had a bike. A man in a wheelchair sees the man walking and says, I wish I could walk. You know, if we're always looking at what other people's have, I wish I had this, and I wish I had that, and I wish and we worry because we may not have that for our family, for our kids, for our life. And if we're always looking at what everybody else has, and we're worrying about what everybody else has, instead of just living in the moment of today and thanking God for this day, we're going to be miserable people. We're not going to reach the full potential of what God has for each and every one of our lives. And we're going to go back to Genesis 37 now. And this is where I'm really trusting the Lord. I've had Joseph on my mind all week too. In Genesis 37 verse 3. It says, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. There was jealousy, right? There was worry that, oh, Dad loves him more and Dad's taking better care of him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain and out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. And then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept this matter in mind. So I'm thinking about Joseph all week, and I'm thinking about, do we not get jealous sometimes of others? And if we're not careful, we can get so jealous that hatred can form. The envy and hatred and stuff, that's where you go back to, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And worrying and about what everybody else is doing, it robs us from our moment of today. And it can lead you down a path that you don't want to go. There was hatred there because of the jealousy that they had. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, as you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them. Very well, he replied. So he said to him, go and see if all is well and your brothers with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me. Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, what are you looking for? He replied, I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks? They have moved on from here, the man answered. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan, but they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. You know, when you're thankful for all that you have and you're rejoicing, there's just something about it takes away the tension. It takes away the jealousy. Here, they were so full of jealousy that they're ready to kill their brother. Verse 19, here comes that dreamer, they said to each other, come, now let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. His brothers agreed. I'm going to stop reading there, but you guys know Joseph's life. He's sold into slavery. When they get to Egypt, Joseph sold to Potiphar, and you know he's falsely accused at Potiphar's wife, tries to seduce him. He runs out. He's thrown into prison. And then what happens in prison? He interprets a dream. Then he's forgot about. He's left, and he's abandoned. And what did Joseph do wrong? He'd done nothing. He'd done nothing to deserve everything that was happening to him. Y'all, in our life sometimes, we're gonna get the short end of the stick. And life isn't gonna be fair. And sometimes things are gonna happen to us. And here, Joseph, all these things happen to him. And yet, does he waver in his faith? See, I wonder how many of us, if we were thrown into jail, falsely accused, forgot about, and went through all these things, we'd be miserable, wretched people. Ugh. God doesn't love me. My life's a wreck and all this. Wouldn't we? I'm not going to lie. If I'm falsely accused and thrown into jail, I'm going to be the biggest baby ever seen. But yet Joseph, the only way that I think Joseph made it was one day at a time trusting in the Lord. Old song, right? One day at a time, sweet Jesus. One day at a time. Y'all, there's so many of us, me included, that we look ahead and we look ahead and we worry and we fret and we don't stop to just enjoy today. I mean, tomorrow, I might get crushed by that metal. I hope not. I pray not. You know, tomorrow something may happen to one of you. And you hope not and you pray not. And when, have any of you ever been in a circumstance where something really bad went wrong and then all of a sudden you appreciate when things are going good a little more? You know? Then you appreciate when things have gone so wrong. You appreciate when things are good. But then what happens? You have good day after good day after good day, and you stop appreciating it. And you stop being thankful. Because this is just life. This is just the way that you live. Joseph ends up getting back with his brothers, right, when he's put in charge of everything in Egypt. And in Genesis 50:20, he says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Let's stop worrying and start trusting and rejoicing for today." You see, Joseph said, "What you intended for evil, what you intended to harm me, God intended for good." And maybe today you're going through something. Maybe today your life isn't perfect. Maybe today you've had problems. You've had porches fall in. You've had crises with your kids. You've had different things happen. Maybe you've got that phone call of a disease or a sickness. Maybe today there's something that you're going through that nobody in this church knows about. But God can take those things that Satan intends to harm us with and turn it into something wonderful and something good. If we trust Him, if we're willing to seek after Him. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." He didn't say you might have trouble. He says you will have trouble, but you can have peace because He's already warned you about this. He's already told you about this. You know, when you're facing something and it's a surprise, it's a lot harder. But when you know something's coming, is it not easier to take? And here the Lord's telling us, "I've told you these things so you can have peace. You can trust in me even when you have troubles, even when you have trials, even when it feels like the world is falling apart. You can have peace because I've already warned you. But take heart, I've overcome the world." Through Jesus Christ, we can overcome these things if we're living one day at a time, trusting in Him, not looking ahead and looking ahead and looking ahead. I'm going to tell you, if I start thinking about all the sermons I have to preach this year, I'm overwhelmed. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not a theologian. I don't have series after series to preach. I'm just week to week. God, help me. And if I begin to think, man, I've got to preach tonight, I've got to preach Wednesday night, I've got to preach Sunday morning, and just thinking about all the sermons I got to preach in even a few weeks, it's overwhelming. But if I just stop and thank God for today, and going back to last week's sermon, pray specifically, "God, help me through today. God, You open the doors. You shut the doors. You show me where I need to go, when I need to go there, what I need to do." I'm going to finish up with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, "Be joyful always." If we're worried, we're not joyful. If we're fretful, we're not joyful. If we're looking at what others have, the man with the bike, the man that's walking, the man with the bus, the guy with the car, if we're always looking for what everybody else has, we're not being joyful. So we're to be joyful always. You know where I can find my most joy? is looking unto the Father and only to the Father. Not even looking at my circumstances. And definitely not looking around at what everybody else has, because that'll rob you quick. Pray continually. Y'all, how many of you, it's a daily thing that you're praying? Now, I got to tell you, I'm probably just like most of you. There's days that I get busy and I don't pray until I'm in a circumstance that I need God's help. You know, there's a lot of times I'm backing into something or I'm trying to pull out on a blind hill and I'd say, oh, Lord, help me. Help there not to be a car coming. Lord, help me not to hit that building. Help me with this, you know, and just little things like that. And it's like, why wasn't I praying before I needed God's help? Pray continually. Be in that constant communication with the Lord. And I'm not meaning kneeling down. And it's just the conversations going. Pray continually. Okay, here's the big one. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I can't explain that. There's maybe some preachers, some teachers that can explain that better than me. But to give thanks in all circumstances, I don't think that's necessarily saying if you've got cancer this morning, if you've got a disease, that you're supposed to thank God for the cancer, that you're supposed to thank God for the disease. But in my mind, and I might be wrong, in my mind it's more of, God, thank you that you can see me through. God, thank you that you can help me. God, thank you that your word says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And it's being thankful to know that God's right there with us, that He's helping us through. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you got anything out of this message this morning, I hope it's that you learn to truly just live each day for that day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about coming up. Be thankful for what you have. You know, as a parent, I remember when my kids was in diapers, and you know, you can't wait till they get out of diapers. Diapers are expensive, you know, and you can't wait till they get out of it. But then they get out of diapers, and then what? You're at the restaurant eating, and they gotta go to the bathroom. And what do you gotta do? You gotta take them to the bathroom, and it always happens right when your food would get there. And then you can't wait till your kids can go to the bathroom by themselves, you know. And then all at once your kids, you know, you just can't wait for this, and you can't wait for that, and you know. Then your kids are grown. And you look back and have you spent your whole life wishing for them to get to this stage and wishing for them to get to that stage and wishing for this. And then all at once you look back and you're going, well, wait a minute. I didn't want the good stuff to be gone. Like when I come in, they run up and hug me because they're so excited that Dad's home from work. You know, yeah, I was ready for them to go to the bathroom on their own or get out of diapers, but I still want the hugs. What's going on here? You know, and then you don't even see them for days or you don't hear from them anymore. And all at once, you know, and y'all, so many of us are wishing our life away. I can't wait till I retire. I can't wait for that vacation this summer. I can't wait for this. I can't wait for that. And we miss today. And we miss the blessing that God has given us for this day on the earth. I didn't realize today was Decoration Day until we pulled up and I seen the people out there, you know. And you know, we've all got loved ones that's gone on. Some of them way too young. Some of them lived a long, good life, but they're gone. And we're not. God has a purpose. God has a plan for each and every one of us for today. Let's quit worrying about all the other junk and begin to live this day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. I thank You for all that You've given to us. Lord, I pray that I would quit taking for granted each and every day that You've given me, and I would learn to appreciate so much all that You've done. Lord, that I would appreciate so much that I have this day to come to this church and to preach this message. Lord, I thank You. I thank You for Your protection this week, Father, and how I realize how differently my life could have changed in just a moment. And Father, how differently each one of us, our life can change in just a moment. So that we need to live every moment unto You, Father, doing Your will, having an attitude of gratitude, being so thankful for what You're doing in each and every one of our lives. Lord, forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for our times of worry. And help each one of us to begin to live each day rejoicing, seeking Your will, seeking Your purpose. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything this morning, the altars are open, but I encourage you to just, if anything else, just begin to thank God this morning. Thank God for all Your blessings in your life. And if you can't think of anything, come up here and let me tell you something that you should be thankful for.
Even the sparrow has a place to lay its head.
As I was thinking, I remember Chris Boatwright when he was going to buy a new car in Fayetteville, and his grandpa was taking him up there, and he said, "I'm not supposed to go buy this car. They're already on their way up there." And they turn around and come back. And I remember him telling me, I just felt like I wasn't supposed to go. And then it was like that week he got a rebate in the mail or something, like an extra $2,000 off because he was having so much trouble with his truck. And he's like, "That's why I wasn't supposed to go buy that car. Because there was a blessing." Travis and Brandy had a car that just kept breaking down. They had more trouble with that thing. And the salesman that ended up selling them their car they have now and working out a deal with them, Travis told that man, he got to witness to him and he got to take him out to dinner and talk to him about the Lord. And he said, "You know what? All that trouble we have with that other car brought me to this point to talk to you." You know, when you're going through something, you don't really get it. Your car breaking down. I don't feel comfortable with this. I'm not supposed to do that. But if we would stop worrying, we'd stop getting so upset, and we'd just learn to trust in the Lord. Yesterday, when me and Madeline, when that car sold, we could have got mad. We could have got upset. Now, I had a little bit of irritation. The guy knew we were coming. "Why'd you sell that car?" But that was a fleeting thought that, okay, God, I'm trusting You. We ended up going up to Fayetteville. Had this 20-year-old kid was our car salesman. Everything went great till the end, and we got delayed and delayed and delayed. But I began to talk to that young man about the Lord. And he said, "You know what's funny?" And he had a post-it note on his desk. And he said, "I got this post-it note inviting me to church. I've really been thinking about going." And Madeline said, "You know, Dad, I think we were supposed to be here. For anything else, it was for you to talk to that boy." You don't know. You can gripe, you can get mad, you can say, huh, I can't believe this happened. Can't believe that guy sold that car out from under me. I can't believe, you know. But if we would just relax, say, Father, I trust you. I don't understand, but I trust you. Y'all, there's a lot of things in my life. There's a lot of circumstances in my life, and they don't have a pretty bow on it. And you go, oh, that's it. That's it. I still don't know. I still don't understand. But God does. Are we going to walk in faith and trust Him? Even when things seem like it's a mess. Even like Joseph, sold into slavery, thrown into prison, falsely accused. But he didn't waver. And he trusted the Lord. You can look at Job's life. Wow, all that he went through. But he wouldn't curse God. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So whatever you're facing this afternoon, trust God. Rejoice in Him. Bible study tonight at 6:30. I know Tim and his family's all out of town. I don't know who's going to be here. I don't even know what we're going to do tonight. But we'll just trust that God has His hand upon it. I would ask you to pray for Tim and all of his family as they're traveling back home from that wedding. They had a breakdown going up and some different things, but Tim said that God worked it out, and he has a story to tell. He said he's going to have to share Wednesday night with all of us of how God worked it out. And so we'll see y'all tonight.